I want you to understand that what Paul is alluding to is that marriage is blessed, and it's blessed to be one of the best places for discipleship.
Everything God ordains, He blesses. And because God has ordained the institution of marriage, there is the opportunity to experience God's blessing in a very special way. Marriage isn't for the faint of heart. It takes work and it takes commitment. But because marriage is blessed by the Lord, we can count on His help to see it through in the most challenging of times.
If there is one institution that is under attack today, it is marriage. And the reason I believe why it's under such attack is because God has chosen marriage to replicate and to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so marriages are a picture for people to see about how Christ and the church relate to each other. And if Satan can mess that up, he's done a strategic thing. And so I want you to understand that whether you're a husband or a wife or single or married, that this whole issue of Satan attacking us is real. And but on the flip side of that, I need you to also understand that marriage is blessed. It's blessed by the Lord. And so it's to be held as a sacred relationship. And it's because of the importance of this institution that it has become a target in our culture. It's because of this relationship that it has become a weak point in the spiritual lives of Christians. And it's become a devastation to the testimony of Christ in the world. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, the rate of divorce among Christians, at least professing Christians, is almost as high as the rate of divorce among the world. And there's a reason for that. And some of that goes to Satan attacking marriage, but some of that goes to our own hearts and our own lives and how we need to proceed in our relationships. And so it's no surprise that Satan wants to do all that he can to destroy your marriage and to break up your home. He would have accomplished something strategic, not just for your family, but for the witness that it has of the people around in the church and in the community. And so Paul, in the midst of his epistle to the church in Corinth, spends 40 verses as he's dealing with all these other things. He spends a long stretch here in his epistle on this institution, and he wants to remind us that marriage is blessed by the Lord. Now, first of all, in verse 1, if you read verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." So he's obviously not talking about married people. But he's talking about single people. And basically what he's saying, it is good to be single. It is blessed to be single. It is good to be in that state where you are not, so involved in the issues of marriage. And so even though Paul challenges us about our marriages, he starts out by saying that being single is a good thing. You know, single people often feel as though they're not fulfilled unless they're married. And I want to tell you that there is fulfillment and a blessing in being single. That's what Paul wants you to understand. Pilots, you know, that fly, they have a saying that it's better to be down here wishing you were up there than to be up there wishing you were down here. And it's also true for single people. Because single people need to understand that it's better to be single wishing you were married than to be married wishing you were single. Being single is a blessed state. And so I want you to, you know, as we proceed through this whole discussion of marriage, I need to speak to the single people in our midst first and let you know, be blessed, be happy. It's a good place to be. In fact, in verse 7, Paul says, I wish everybody was like that. But everybody doesn't have that same gift. But it's a good place to be. And so if experiencing the blessings of being single is not your gift, then Paul wants you to understand that marriage is also blessed. That marriage is also a good place to be. Look at verse 3. He says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. What's he saying there? That marriage is blessed, but it comes with responsibilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Marriage comes with responsibilities. And you are responsible to your spouse. Some of those responsibilities are you gave when you exchanged vows. Some of those responsibilities you understood you were taking on when you got married, but it comes with responsibilities. And so what we need to do is we need to put those responsibilities ahead of ourselves. And marriage, you know, is not a give and take. I like to say, in fact, when I wrote that book on 10 Commandments of Marriage, I said it's not a quid pro quo, you know, it's not tit for tat. This is not I'll scratch your back as long as you're scratching my back. Marriage is not that kind of a carrot and stick game. And far too often, sex and affection has become a tool for manipulation rather than being a responsibility that we have toward each other. Don't get quiet on me now. All I'm saying is that marriage comes with responsibilities. You made vows between God and your spouse in the company of believers, and to back out on those vows is an abdication of responsibilities. And so far too often, we have neglected some of those responsibilities, neglected some of those vows. I wish I had time to just outline, get the book if you don't have it, and review some of those responsibilities, some of those promises that you made, some of those vows that you made, and make sure that you are fulfilling those responsibilities. But you're also responsible to submit to your spouse. Now, let me slow down here just a little bit. You're responsible to submit to your spouse. Now, there's a lot of talk about wives submitting to their husbands, but there's very little exhortation about husbands submitting to their wives. So let's talk about it for a minute. You see, in Ephesians 5, we see the blueprint for a healthy marriage, and that is that wives are to submit to the will of their husbands, and husbands are to submit to the welfare of their wives. When he says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, it means that we put the welfare of our wife over and above even our own welfare. I need to be willing to sacrifice what I want for the welfare of my wife. Are you with me? And so that means that both parties are to put the other party before themselves. And I have a feeling that we live in a world today where everybody's looking out for themselves. Everybody is watching what affects them and how it affects them. And we've got a victim mentality that's spreading in our hearts that makes us the victim. And we're so concerned about ourselves that we're not thinking about the other person. And so I just want to challenge you today that both parties, husbands and wives, both need to put the other person ahead of themselves. You know, I've said it a million times. Maybe some of you that are newer have not heard me say it, but let me give it to you again. The Tony Hart definition of love. Somebody must have it written down. And if you don't, write it down. Love is the total giving of yourself for the welfare of the other person without requiring anything in return. You say you should remember that. It's the total giving of yourself without, you know, requiring anything in return. Now, you know, I always have to qualify and say it doesn't mean that you don't expect things in return. You can have expectations. I mean, you know, when I finish here, my wife expects me to come home. You can't live and function without expectations. But my love should not be contingent on all my expectations being met. Oh, you didn't hear me. Love is a total giving of yourself without requiring anything in return. And so if I don't get lotty-dotty anything back, I need to continue to love and continue to love and continue to give. Why? Because that's what I vowed to do. Amen. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. And we need to keep our word to God and the company by loving the other person and continuing to give yourself. Now, that kind of mutual submission will take care of the problems in the bedroom. It will take care of the problems with the checkbook. It will take care of the problems of how we accept each other. It will take care of the problems of how we care for each other. In fact, it will put a balm and a cure over a whole lot of ills. How's the Bible put it? Love covers a multitude of sins. That's Bible. And we need to continue to love and to give and to put the other person's welfare ahead of our own. And so verse 4 is a description of that kind of mutual submission. But look at verse 5. He says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I want you to understand that what Paul is alluding to is that marriage is blessed and is blessed to be one of the best places for discipleship. Marriage is created by God and is an incubator for disciples that love God and share his love with the world. Marriage is to be a place where that kind of discipleship is fostered. Our relationship with God should not be the only relationship, it should be the only relationship that has priority over our spouse. And so I draw that triangle. And the fact of the matter is that with that triangle, the two bottom corners there is where we are. And too many couples try and solve their problems by, you know, fighting with each other down at the bottom of the triangle. Where if two people would both pursue God and put that relationship first, as they get closer to God, what happens? They naturally get closer to each other. It's something that you have in common. It can become the glue that allows you to function even with all the other stuff that's going on. And so I want you to understand that marriage is a place where we can encourage each other to have that kind of discipleship and build that kind of relationship. Because as Brother Tony just mentioned, relationships matter. So we need to focus on that time with God. Are we more concerned about the spiritual growth of our spouses than we are about getting dinner on time? Or about having our recreation time? Some of us are more concerned about all the peripheral things without really being concerned about discipleship. And so never lose sight of the truth that the triangle with God at the top is capable of being a real force in our lives, in our marriage. And marriages should be a place where we foster each other's growth in the Lord. Now, let me say this. One of the key ingredients to discipleship and being concerned about the other person's welfare spiritually is accountability. One of the benefits that you have in a marriage is accountability. If there, you know, I talk about being able to take the mask off. You know, when you come to church, somebody says, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Everything's fine. We got our hallelujah mask on. And everything looks great. But the fact of the matter is, that if there's one place where you should be able to take the mask off, if there's one relationship that you should be able to be vulnerable in, that you should be able to expose yourself in, it is in that marriage relationship. And because accountability is so important to discipleship, that is why marriage is one of the best incubators for disciples. And so we just need to be concerned about each other's discipleship. We need to be concerned about each other's spiritual growth. And it requires us, however, to be vulnerable in that way and to take the mask off. Now, one of the things that I talk about, and I'll just throw this out there quickly, is that if you want your spouse to be vulnerable and to take the mask off with you, then you have to be a safe place for that to happen. So that if I take my mask off with you and then it's all over town and it's, you know, been bad talked about to everybody else, well, then that's going to make me take a back step. And I'm going to hesitate to be as vulnerable. But discipleship can happen when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and you allow the other person to be vulnerable, and that is and it becomes a safe place for that to happen. And so marriage is blessed to be the perfect place for discipleship. But at the end of verse 5, we come back to this truth that it says, Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so I want you to understand that Satan is still in the business of messing up your marriage. And if you can get one thing out of this message today, I need you to understand that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. And the problem is not only your spouse. The problem is in my heart. Are you with me? That we need to protect our hearts. Don't think for a minute that Satan is going to sit back and allow this excellent incubator for discipleship to continue without any challenges. He's going to fight it tooth and nail. He's going to work in your heart and in your spouse's heart. And he's going to wreak havoc if he can. So we need to protect our hearts. He's going to attack your relationship on every side. He will stir up your selfish heart and convince you that your needs are not being met, that this relationship is not working, and he will tear your heart apart. He will stir up your tendency to self-righteousness and convince you that you are more spiritual and don't have to listen to your spouse who isn't as spiritual as you are. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Satan is busy, and he's busy in our hearts. And he will stir up your desire for independence and try and convince you that you don't need anybody else. But the fact of the matter is, we need each other. Relationships do matter. That we do need each other. And it is that marriage relationship is, if we allow ourselves to be accountable to each other, it is the perfect place for discipleship. You know, just as a means of personal testimony, I'll just say that I would not be here today preaching to you all if I didn't run into that Miss Carol Hart. Because my life was headed in another, I've told you all about it, was headed in another direction. Marriage is the perfect place for discipleship if we allow ourselves to be accountable and to be vulnerable. But we need to protect our hearts from the deceptions of Satan. We need to protect ourselves, as Ephesians 6 says, with the whole armor of God. That's how we protect our hearts. And I don't have time to go through the whole armor of God today. We'd be here till tonight. But the fact of the matter is, Ephesians 6 is a good passage to visit that tells us all the pieces of armor that we need to go to battle with in order to protect ourselves and our hearts from the wiles of the devil, the evil one. And so we need to, I like at verse 18 of chapter 6, he says that after you put on all the pieces of armor, what do you need to do? You need to stand and pray always. Now, what that says to me, that praying always, a couple different things, but one of the things it says to me is that we need to persevere. We need to persevere. And if there's one thing that Satan would like for you to do is to give up. He will convince you that God can't even change this. That God himself can't make a difference, so I'm doing my thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to stand praying always. That's perseverance. That means remembering your vows. Remembering your responsibilities, remembering the promises that were made, and keep your vows even to your own harm. I like that verse. The choir used to put that out there. Even to your own harm. And then stand and see what God can do. Amen? And so marriage is blessed, but it's constantly under attack. And I can tell you after 45 years of marriage that Satan throws his darts. Sometimes we suffer self-inflicted wounds. Somebody said, tell the truth. I don't want to tell the truth. But sometimes it is self-inflicted wounds. But let me tell you something. We will not be defeated as long as we live our lives with the whole armor of God, protecting our hearts from the wiles of the evil one, always confident in God's ability to work in your heart as well as in your spouse's heart. And whether you're married or single, you need to protect your heart from the evil one who is busy and out there seeking whom he can devour. If you are experiencing Satan's attack on your marriage, don't turn on your spouse, but focus on your heart. And disciple your spouse with accountability motivated by love. And the battle is not against flesh and blood, but as I said, it's against principalities and powers. And we need to understand that God can work in your spouse, so you need to persevere. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stand fast. And when you've done all you can do, stand. And whether you're single or married, whatever your situation might be, you know, Satan is busy. He's working in our hearts to try and turn us aside. Paul's plea is for you to persevere, for you to stand. Would you do that? Make that commitment today. Lord, I understand that you have a plan for my marriage. You have a plan for my single life. Help me not to get distracted. Help me not to give Satan any opportunity.
Dr. Hart and the staff here at GOGF offer our sincere thanks to you who listen to our program and generously support us. Your faith and kindness help to sustain us, allowing us to share the word of truth to a world in trouble. It is with your prayers and financial support that we are able to change the lives of children in Jamaica and India, to train spiritual leaders across the globe, to plant Bible-believing churches, and to continue the legacy of our founder, the late Dr. B. Sam Hart. Your partnership and trust motivate us to pursue excellence in every area of our ministry. Thank you for walking this journey with us and for believing in our mission. We want you to know that just as we solicit your prayers, we also want to pray for you. Just let us know how we can agree with you for God's will in your life. Here's our announcer, Sheila King, with information on how to get in touch with us.
If you've been blessed by our broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It encourages us to know that we are encouraging you. If you'd like to join hands with us in helping to keep this program available in your area, please contact us today. Our office number is 215-361-8111. That's 215-361-8111. You can also give online at our website, gogfministries.org, or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. We also encourage you to become a prayer fellowship partner by supporting us monthly with a gift of any size as we continue our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.